This podcast is brought to you compliments of Kaspersky Lab, protecting more than 300 million systems worldwide against internet threats.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Digital Underground Podcast. I have Jeremiah Grossman, the newly minted interim CEO of White Hat Security, on the line. I think our audience knows Jeremiah as the longtime CTO of White Hat and, longtime presence in the security community. And just earlier this week announced that he's taking over the CEO job for a little while at White Hat. So first of all, congratulations, Jeremiah. That's a pretty big step.
Thank you very much, Dennis. It's good to be on the podcast again. It's always a good time.
So you were originally the CEO when White Hat started. I think we talked about this on the podcast we did a few months ago. But it was not exactly the company that it is now, 10 years later, right?
Yeah, putting it mildly. So yeah, I was a founder, so employee number one, and they get the CEO title by default. And so 2001 to 2005, I grew the company from an army of one to about 10 people, and it got to a particular size where there was a whole lot of managing. I was really, really young at the time and wanted to focus more on the core technologies of what we were building. So that's when we hired Stephanie Thon, who came off a great run with Security Focus that was acquired by Symantec, and she was perfect for the job.
And so back then, you said you had 10 employees. The web was obviously a much different thing back then too. I mean, what kind of challenges were you dealing with now as opposed to what you think you're going to run into now?
You know, it's a good question. It's funny to think about it back then, but still today, there's evangelism needs to be done in the space. That's probably web security is really, really important. So we're constantly having to tell that message. But back then, web security was barely a term. And how it worked. We used to have slides in our slide deck on why firewalls didn't protect a website. We don't have those anymore. So I think as a singular difference, that might be one.
It's kind of funny to think about that. I mean, it's 10 years, it seems like a long time, but at the same time, the web was a pretty mainstream thing in 2004, 2005. You would think that people understood what web security was, but I remember at that time too having to sort of describe the differences between like network security, computer security, and web security.
Yeah, you had to explain what firewalls were and what SSL did and didn't do. No antivirus really isn't going to help you there, and those sorts of things. And it's not all gone, but it's still there a little bit. Now we're just mostly today where everybody knows what web security is, and the big challenges today are twofold. One is the size of the web security problem. The web is like 800 million websites strong. Yeah. And there's a really big talent gap out there in competent application security people. It's a very new space. It grew very big, really fast, and we're racing to catch up.
That seems like, I've heard, you guys and other folks talk about the gap in talent for a long time with application security. How is that not, like, you would think that some colleges would sort of see this as an issue and jump on that, but is it? I mean, what's holding that back? Why are people not turning out application security talent as opposed to just computer science graduates or network security guys?
So actually, I think the problem is further upstream. If we had a lot more programmers, a lot more engineers, I don't think we'd be having the application security problems that we do. Hmm. But I think if you look at the numbers, the statistics in colleges, just the overall number of people studying computer science or learning programming is basically flat in most places, if not down. So, and the world only is going to need more and more software, so hence more and more software security. So I think there's just a talent shortage across all software, not just software security.
Okay. Yeah, it does seem like, 10 or 12 years ago, every new college graduate you ran into was, they had been a CS major or something in IT or IS, and it doesn't seem like it's quite as popular as it was, 10 or 12 years ago.
And I think that's exactly right. It's hard to know exactly why that is, only that it is. It's not as sexy anymore. I really couldn't tell you. But you know, maybe it has something to do with the students out there really don't understand, and nobody's told them that the awesome problems they get to work on and really, you know, change the world. If you look at all the coolest, most awesome companies out there on the Fortune list, those are all software companies. They might be labeled something else like a bank, but all they do is generate software. You know, whether it's Pixar, Netflix, Facebook, Google, these are software companies at their core.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I don't think people think about it that way, or at least not most people. You know, they think of Netflix as a movie company, or you know, Pixar, you know, as a movie studio. But you're right; they don't actually film movies. They're writing code to produce, you know, Nemo and all these other great movies. So there are a lot of good challenges out there, and especially in security. I mean, we both know a lot of people that have made, you know, really nice names for themselves solving hard problems in security. And it, to me, that would be an attractive proposition if I was somebody, you know, with that kind of ambition coming out of school.
Yeah, so we've been having, you know, we've been very fortunate because we have a very cool work environment. Our mission is pretty fantastic. So, you know, in our line of business, we get to look at all these companies and we get to assess their websites for vulnerability. So we get, so they write software and we do software security. So we're positioned pretty well. So we can say to the new aspiring engineers, the software developers, you know, whoever they may be, is, look, you get to work with the biggest name brands in the business, and you can go hack them with impunity to help them be more secure. It's like, you know, how much cooler of a work environment could you really ask for?
Right.
All we do is learn technology, learn how security works every single day.
Yeah, which is really cool, especially if you get into an environment like your company, you know, which is collecting a lot of the AppSec talent out there. You get to learn from, you know, some of the most knowledgeable and experienced folks that have been in the business for a long time, I would think.
If there's a lot of that, but it's not only that. The thing that we find is that web security as a discipline is really, really big academically. It's really difficult to become an expert. I've been studying this full time for, you know, the last 12 years, and every single day I'm still learning new stuff about web security. And what's interesting in this, and you'll appreciate this because you've been to DEF CON, when you do capture the flag, the biggest teams always win. It takes an army. The five of the best guys cannot beat 100 of just so-so guys, because the span of knowledge is really vast. So when you come to Whitehead, right, I don't really want to make this like a recruiting drive here or anything like that, but it's like, it's the collective wisdom of everybody we got here. It's not just any one person. It's the group. It's you know, it's all the things that we learn every single day, and it gets shared that way.
Yeah, which is, that's really cool. So aside from, you know, finding enough people to do, high quality work, what do you think are going to be the two or three main challenges that you're going to face in the next few months?
Good question. One is just the scale of the web in general, and helping people to understand the differences between what antivirus and firewalls do for them versus how the break-ins actually happen. You know, we see it in the Target breaches and all the recent retailer breaches these days.
Yep.
Look, they put malware on the skimmer, buy more antivirus software. No. Step back. That was a software security problem that didn't get solved. More antivirus isn't going to help you. We have to take a step back from that. There is a community resistance for that because this work is hard. Those problems are really hard to solve, but we're only going to keep on this hamster wheel of pain, as Hoff likes to say, if we don't start looking at that way. So I think, you know, it's Whitehead, it's our biggest challenge is articulating that message that there are right ways to go about doing this. This is how you do web security. This is how you measure your progress, and this is how you not get compromised. And there's that whole ROI message in there, but
yeah,
That's the areas we have to focus.
So, Jeremiah, how often do you guys, I mean, I guess it probably depends on the size of the organization that you're working with, but how many organizations these days have dedicated, you know, web security guys and not just, you know, typical network or desktop security guys?
I think, well, we're, you know, obviously we're going to be a biased sample. So everybody we work with has a dedicated application security guy, because otherwise you can't roll out an application security program. And I think these days, everybody we're encountering, if you look down, let's say the Fortune 500 or the 1,000, everybody has done a little bit on a little area of web security, at least a little bit in every part of the organization. It's their challenge to grow it, measure it, and make it successful, but everybody's done a little bit of something. They bought a scanner, they've had a consultant. Later, they graduated to something more formal, like a software security program or
yes,
an enterprise-wide vulnerability assessment program like we provide. But those are the steps that they're taking.
And the software security, which we've mentioned a few times here, is obviously, like, that's kind of downstream from where you guys are, but it's, those two pieces obviously go hand in hand, because if you're writing really crappy, buggy software, then, you know, you guys coming in and just showing them every couple months that you still have really crappy, buggy software isn't going to help them that much. You know, something's got to be fixed on the back end at some point.
That's a great point. And so sometimes these words and these labels hurt us. So software security, that's the big mass of all software security-related stuff. Within that bubble, I concern myself with web security. Other guys concern themselves with mobile security. And there's all different kinds of different types of software, hence different types of software security. So I figure the web is probably big enough for me. So
yeah,
that's kind of my playground. And the thing that we tell our customers is that, yes, you have vulnerabilities. You'll have vulnerabilities to the end of time because you have bugs for the end of time. But that's not the end of the story. What you want to see is as you're developing software, you have less vulnerabilities over time per release. You're fixing them faster, and you're fixing them more often. And you don't have to be perfection. Perfection is prohibitively expensive, if not unnecessary, because really you're just trying to stay one step ahead of your peer who the bad guy is going to go after first. You have to be a little bit more secure than the average.
And is that message getting across to folks? I mean, obviously there's all kinds of different organizations that you deal with, and I'm sure it depends on their sophistication, but in general, do people kind of get that message at this point?
There's two messages. There's that one. So when people roll out a mature and modern application security program, they get that. But there's the other ones that are, whether they realize it or not, are trapped in the compliance hamster wheel, where they're just doing things that make no tangible difference because they have to comply to the standard. You know, that bugs me to no end.
Yeah.
But hopefully those particular folks will figure out how to spend the minimum amount of resources on compliance and spend the rest on actually producing better security.
Yeah, that whole compliance thing, I feel like, is, you know, been kind of a not necessarily the most positive thing for security in a lot of ways. You know,
it got the dollars, but it prevented the outcomes that we were looking for.
Yeah, it sucked up, like you said, the dollars and also just a lot of attention and kind of manpower for a long time, you know, for several years. And, you know, I understand that there's plenty of organizations, you know, healthcare, banks, you know, whatever the case may be, that, you know, that's their core business. They've got to, you know, they can't do business if they're not compliant with these regulations. But in some ways, you know, it can distract from larger problems.
As Wendy Nather over at the 451 Group, I'm fond of her saying it. She mentioned it to me. She says, the auditor is the threat we all can agree on.
Yeah, I like that very much. Yeah, that's pretty good.
And I had nothing after that.
All right, so a couple more questions here. What are you looking forward to? I mean, as we said, it's been a long time since you were kind of the CEO, even though, you know, you've been White Hat is kind of your baby from the beginning. Is there anything specifically that you're looking forward to in this new role?
I think the most important thing is, you know, I've been doing the technology stuff a long, long time. I'll forever have a passion for it, but it's to help better direct the organization in a, you know, more of a, as a visionary role almost, and position other people in the company to bring forth really good ideas to the market. We have some fantastic people here with some incredible new ideas, and it's really getting those ideas, forming a product, getting something of value, and getting it out to market. And, you know, we have a great customer base to make sure that happens. So that's really what I'm here to do, is just focus on making White Hat the great company that it is and bigger tomorrow.
Nice. Well, you're not going to start skipping, like, Black Hat to go to some management conference in, like, Monterey or something, right?
Who knows? I mean, that's a new challenge in and of itself. I get to be a CEO that can hack. I mean, that's got to, like, be, like, the coolest thing, like, ever. I'm going to show up to those financial conferences and show those guys how to hack, and it'll blow their mind. So I'm not going to do the things the way they do it. I'm going to do the things the way I do it.
I like it. Excellent. All right, Jeremiah, thanks for your time, man, and congrats again on the new job. It's very cool, and I look forward to seeing what you guys have coming in the next few months.
Thanks, Dan. It's always a great time.
All right, take care.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Compliments of Kaspersky Lab, a world leader in internet threat protection for small, medium, and large enterprises. Visit Kaspersky.com for more information about their line of premium protection solutions.